What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Collin II, and with me, as always, is my co-host with the
Sesame
most...
Incarta.
Sesame Incarta. Sesame
yeah.
Incarta. So we're sticking with this, huh?
We're sticking with it. It's stuck.
It's stuck.
It's got permanent sticking charm. It's not going away.
A permanent sticking charm. Is that like a
what's that?
Is a sticking charm like a magical thing?
Yeah, it's from Harry Potter, but I'm pretty sure other books talk about it too. So
yes. So yes, it is a magical charm created by a transphobic person. Anyway, so because that's how they work. Today on the show, we are covering Legends of Tomorrow, Season 7, Episode 9, entitled Lowest Common Denominator. Directed by Eric Dean Seton, written by James Egan and Emily Cheever. Yeah, so we've taken a little bit break here from the from covering Legends of Tomorrow. But this episode here was a pretty good one, so we decided we wanted to cover it. What were your thoughts on this episode here, Matt?
I really loved it. I would rank it pretty much tied with the penultimate episode of Season 5. I think it was titled the one where we're all trapped on TV or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Where they're kind of making fun of like Downtown Abbey or Downton Abbey and like Star Trek and other kind of shows.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite episodes of Legends, and I think this one really really ties it up. I just think it was really funny. I like the fact that Legends has basically just become a comedy at this point. Like, it's not even a superhero show at all anymore, so it's just kind of hilarious. But unfortunately, I think, you know, it had to take Rip Hunter, you know, dying for that to happen. But, you know, I think after he sacrificed himself to kill the demon Malus, or Malus, rather, is how it's pronounced, pretty much the show just progressively went into the comedy territory after that.
Yeah. I do like when they have different type of genres per episode and everything. This was kind of interesting because it was like a reality TV show.
Indeed.
So, what happens in this episode here, Matt?
Well, it's hard to say because I've only watched it 3 times so far, and read several articles about it. So, you know, it's a little bit hard to say. But what happens is after the previous episode, Paranoid Android, where we find out that there's a different what they call Evil Gideon out there who has her own sets of Legends of Tomorrow, who are basically androids, and they're, you know, they view themselves as like their real legends, and that you know, the our legends are like, you know, basically just fucking up the timeline, so they gotta go and clean up their mess. So we find out pretty much after that that Sarah Lance, the robot Sarah Lance, figures out that they're all androids, and unfortunately she's kind of brainwashed back into being an android again. And but anyway, so that's kind of just playing off of that. So in here, right before they're about to be killed, Gideon, our Gideon, who's now takes on a human form, but she still has the same like computer abilities that she did when she was just an AI. She sends them to John Constantine's pocket dimension, which, as we know, is literally inside of hell. So she took them to hell. I mean, that's what happened. And
like you do.
And so they're pretty much like you do, you know. And she's kind of she's having issues with being human, because she's starting to get used to feeling human emotions and you know, things such as failure and stuff like that, you know, things that she wasn't really used to, you know, experiencing. So she's kind of doubting herself, thinking that, you know, she made a mistake. She's, you know, let them down. You know, we find out why she thinks that later on. But anyway, so the scientist, I forgot, Constantine's ancestor, I forgot his name, Gwyn. Yeah, sorry, Gwyn. You know, he's the one who invented time travel. He hears Alan,
who is Constantine's ancestor,
his partner in war. Well, I just assumed he is, just because he looks just like him. Oh, okay. I mean, how else haven't they stated that, have they? No, but I'm just, I mean, how else would someone be an exact doppelganger of you without being an ancestor? It just seems like genetically an obvious thing.
Or it could just be that we see him looking like that, but the people there don't.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, yeah, I guess they haven't confirmed it. I guess I just...
I don't know. It's maybe because I've watched soap operas for years, and I've seen actors come back as different characters on the same show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this one guy who used to play Franco on General Hospital now plays another character. And before that he played another character. So
well, okay, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's quite possible that he's not. I just assumed he was. Just yeah. That was just my own.
Well, I mean, he might be.
Assumption,
yeah, but Gwyn Davies is his name. Yeah.
Yeah, Gwyn Davies. He's the inventor of time travel, and that's where they, you know, they got him, you know, to basically build a time machine. So he's kind of just taking a moment, you know, for himself, just sort of, you know, to get his bearings, and he hears a voice, and it turns out that it's Alan from, you know, from the war, who was, you know, like one of his like favorite people from the war, and he blames himself for Alan being ambushed and dying during the war. So he opens the door, you know, to help him, but instead he opens, like, you know, into like a portal to hell. There's all these flames and stuff like that, and then he's kind of freaking out. The temperature is rising, you know, throughout the, you know, rest of the, you know, the pocket dimensions, you know, until they find out, like, oh shit, someone's opened the door. And basically, Gwyn ends up letting through what is called the Cursed Crew, which were a film crew that were so desperate to have a successful reality TV show that they sold their souls in order to do so. But now they're beholden to a demon who forces them just to do reality TV shows from hell until they can actually like capture like an authentic moment. And as we all know, reality TV is notorious for being fake. And so basically the idea is that they're never going to be free. They're always going to
Does this explain the existence of the Jersey Shore?
Well, this episode heavily borrows itself from the Jersey. I mean, like, extremely, extremely borrows stuff from. I mean, even when it comes to the freaking, you know, tanning.
Yeah,
you start seeing the changes, the subtle changes. So actually, it was Zari and Nate, but no, it was Zari. Zari. I'm just gonna say it. I know I shouldn't say it. I think the new Zari is way cooler than the old Zari. That's just me. It's my personal opinion.
Okay.
You know, original Zari's cool. She's cool, but you know, I'm attracted to femininity. It's just me. It's my person. That's just what I'm attracted to. So, that's just me. So, like, you know, her personality and stuff like that, that's, I'm drawn more to that than the original Zara, you know. But that's just my personal, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
I like old Zari better, but that's just me. So,
that's fine. Yeah. That, I mean, that's fine. Yeah. It's that we all have our own. You know, our own stuff, but she's the one that figures out first that they're being manipulated, because she was about to, you know, kiss Nate, and then I forgot what else happens. They're all looking for Gideon, I think, at one point, and then they all scream because Gideon and Gary have been sleeping together for, I don't know, at least a couple of weeks at this point in their timeline. And they all screaming upstairs, so you know, everyone thinks, you know, something terrible is happening. You know, like a demon or a monster, you know, came through the hell portal. But no, it's because they caught, you know, Gideon and Gary in bed. And then, you know, this sort of sets up a little bit of the theme of this episode too, where everyone is sort of subtly, ever so subtly, blaming Gideon for, like, being unfocused because she's sleeping with Gary, or she's having a relationship with Gary.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, she accidentally sent them to the pocket dimension instead of somewhere else. So that kind of plays out later in the episode. So that's an important little factoid right there. So yeah, what else happened, you know?
Well, okay. Basically what we got going on here is, Astra ends up going to the Lowest Common Denominator Productions to shut the show down after, you know, she kind of figures out what's going on. She's followed there by Bayrod, who, you know, has a big crush on her. The guy who's in charge of the show, his name is Harris Leeds. He threatens to kill and take Bayrod's soul. To keep the show running. While this is going on, Sarah is shirking strategizing with Ava a plan to have a, like, vacation kind of honeymoon sort of thing. So that's going on. We got, you know, the whole thing, like you're saying, with Nate and Zari are arguing about his relationship with, Zari Tomas, AKA Zari 1.0.
OG Zari.
Yeah. OG Zari. Yeah, the, So, while that's going on, Gwyn has, come up with a plan to, rescue Franz Ferdinand to stop World War I. And while this is all going on, Gary, is dumped by, Gideon. Because she believes, like you were saying earlier, that, you know, her judgment has been clouded by her relationship with Gary. So yeah, we've got all this like reality TV shit going on, basically. All these, you know...
it's so funny.
High-stakes drama for stupid little things, you know?
It is so funny, dude. I mean, like, I can't tell you. I watched it 3 times. I'm probably going to watch it again later tonight, actually. It's like, you got, like... And, like, the changes happen so subtly. Like, Nate's tan line, like, starts getting progressively darker, and he starts lifting weights and shit.
Yeah.
It's like...
Becoming like one of the guys on Jersey Shore. Yeah.
Yeah, like he even starts talking like one of the characters from. I'm just going to say it, characters, because they are characters, not real people. I mean, they're real people, but they're playing characters. But like he starts talking like one of the dudes, and like you can sort of see the very subtle, like, because like Sarah, you know, she puts on these earrings that she normally wouldn't wear. And then that's when she starts talking about wanting to plan a vacation to go to a beach house that apparently they own, which they'd never ever talked about before. But and like Ava's like the only one that seems not really affected by it, which is weird. Like no one really like that was never really acknowledged in the episode that Ava really wasn't affected by any of this. Like she knew what was going on the whole time.
Yeah.
And but yeah, the show never really acknowledged. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because she's a clone that she couldn't. Maybe she can't be affected the same way or something. I'm not sure. But well, I don't know because Gideon was AI and now she's human. So whatever. Could have just been Ava being Ava. But
Sarah's a clone.
But yeah, too. You got Nate lifting weight. Yeah, well, sorry. Sarah's a clone now too. So yeah, who knows? It could have just been the way they went with it. But yeah, you got Nate lifted weights and Gary's, you know, basically having a full blown breakdown about Gideon breaking up with him, and Nate's like trying to cheer him up, like, you can't trust dings, man. Like every time you think you can, they, you know, the only thing you can trust are gains. And he like flexes his muscles, you know, all this, you know, bro shit, you know, like it, oh god, it's just such a funny episode.
Have you ever watched the Jersey Shore?
Just a couple episodes.
Yeah, so I tried to watch it years ago. So like a few years back, I had to follow around for like 2 days straight one of the people from the Jersey Shore with a camera. With Angelina Pavarnik, yeah, who I'm still friends with. But anyways, I mean, she was actually pretty cool, but it's just so... Such a weird thing, and she was filling us in on how you know, how fake that show is. How they'll have arguments, right, yeah. They'll have arguments, and then they'll have to re-record the argument.
Oh wow!
Like right after it, you know, like if they didn't get the right angles or something like that, they'll like make them fight again.
It's like, yeah, can we do that? Oh, take two. You know. try to keep the same emotion.
Yeah,
there's so many good lines though, like Zari, Tarazi, and Nate, like oh god, they get into this argument where like, yeah, like, you know, like, yeah, just thinking about it, you know, like us getting together, it's just kind of like blah, and she's like, oh, okay, but you know, I am an exact genetic, you know, copy of, you know, like, so you know, so like, you know, the only difference between us is our personalities. And not 20 minutes ago, you called me your quote, your time bro, Ed. So surely you're not saying it's my personality, right? Surely, like the way she says it. He's like, did I say not in a million years? No, I meant not in 10 million years. You know, so they get in like, and by the way, can I just say that the actress who plays Zari, mm-hmm. is such a good actress, how she portrays completely different personalities of herself. yeah.
She is a really good actress.
Yeah,
I mean, I think she's like my favorite characters on the show, plural.
Yeah, characters. Yeah, definitely one of the best additions, really, of the show. You know, Bayard's pretty cool too. He started in season 5, mm-hmm. but well, technically at the end of season 4, but like the last 30 seconds of the, the season. But oh, that's the other thing. So Bayard's got his own story going on as well, where like, you know, where he's like, you know, this chill guy, smokes weed, he's no worries, it's like his whole, persona or whatever. We find out, it's there's more to him than that too. And plus too, I think what I like what they did with him, because like, and this is not me getting on some kind of moral high horse or anything like that, but I have noticed that like when it comes to like substance use and stuff like that, that like in like the mainstream culture, at least, like maybe it's just who you surround yourself with, but like there does seem to be like this like alcoholism is bad, but like marijuana use is like, it's harmless, it's fine, it's like, well, it's a substance, it's a drug, just like anything else is, so it's like ipso facto that could also be abused, right? Like, yeah. Just by going by logic, right? But there does seem, at least from, again, it could just be the corners of the internet or people you talk to, who knows, but just from my sort of perspective and my experience, there does seem to be this kind of attitude of like, you can't do too much marijuana, like there's no such thing, but like any other drug you can. And I'm like, well, that's
like, just, it's Jell-O.
That almost sounds like someone who has a problem would say about their particular drug of choice, wouldn't it though? Like, mm-hmm. If alcohol was your drug choice, you'd be like, oh, of course you can't drink too much, it's fine, heroin, well, not heroin, but anyway, so like Bayard's his whole personality's been about like smoke weed and be chill or eat edibles and be chill or whatever, so the reality demon guy, he's trying to like nudge him back into to doing that. And he's pretty much what ends the spell by just like throwing the whole plate of edibles on the floor and just breaking the glass and basically just like breaking down and crying in front of everyone, saying like, I get sad sometimes, I get scared a lot, the first time I ever failed at anything was on, our own reality TV show, Keeping Up with the Tarazis, which is obviously a callback to Keeping Up the Kardashians, and that's literally what then like causes the cursed brew to, I'm kind of jumping all over the place here in this episode, but
oh, that's fine. I'm hoping that people listen to this have seen the episode, so they understand. But it's a
hopefully that they're just getting an opinion, yeah.
Did you want to take a quick break here, Matt, and then we'll come back and talk about the rest of this?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
No Outlet Live.
Hey, I'm Jay Remy, host of No Outlet Live. If you're in a podcast that explores any and everything, check us out. We stream anywhere you listen or watch podcasts, or just type No Outlet Live, one word, in your Google search bar to find the show. Live Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook. No Outlet Live, your road to boredom ends here. Do you like Tessa? Do you think this will be a date that can last?
Well, she's not very articulate.
And we are back. Back in black.
Ugh. Don't do it. Yeah. If you heard one AC/DC song, you've heard half of them.
Yes, at least. Maybe all.
Maybe. No, if you go to their earlier stuff, like their first album is pretty decent. It really is. But I'd say maybe their first two albums. But yeah, pretty much anything after that is just a repeat, Because, sometimes you like that really steady rock beat. You know, it's just like a, you know, mid-tempo. It's not too fast, not too slow. It's just like that nice, perfect kind of cruising zone. You know, sometimes you like that. But, you know, that's not the only thing that you like, you know? So
yeah, it's like Big Bang Theory. Anyway, so sometimes you like that mid-tempo sitcom. Anyway, so the you know, there's some talent there. Kind of repeat yourself. Yeah. Anyway, so
hey man. Hey, you know, you just gotta be positive about that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yep, you gotta, you know, just realize that, you know, not everything can be, you know, understood by 2.5 men. And, yep. Chuck Lorre did write the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme song, though, so that's cool. Anyway, so...
yeah. Yes. Does he write the music or just the lyrics?
I think just the lyrics, but still.
So it doesn't even count. Oh, wow, the lyric. The lyrics are like two words.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Heroes in a Half.
So that's three. That's three Turtle pieces. Power.
But then it goes... There are lyrics to it. It's like
that's just
they describe each of the turtles. So. He may have written the music too. I don't know.
Yeah, but that. Okay, so if he at least wrote the music, then that, at least that's something.
Yeah,
but yeah, whatever. It's fine. He's a billionaire or mm-hmm. millionaire, and you know, we're struggling to survive. But hey, you know that's fine.
That's fine. If you're listening to this by any reason at all, Chuck Lorre, please be on the show. I would love to talk to you about your career.
Yeah.
I have many questions. Many questions. About, like, how many times you can recycle the Odd Couple. Anyway, so,
wow.
Sorry. I mean... Dharma and Greg is the Odd Couple, except for they're married. 2.5 Men is Odd Couple at a kid.
yeah. Big Bang Theory, Odd Couple. Be Positive, Odd Couple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mike and Molly.
Oh, he did that one too?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did he also remake the actual Odd Couple with Matthew Perry as well?
No, that was somebody else.
Okay, that's hilarious. Someone else is like...
Yeah. And that was actually a good show.
They won't give him the job either. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that was pretty decent. You know what else decent Matthew Perry was in? He was in this show called... it was called like Moving On or something like that, or Grief or... Something like that. Like his wife died, and he was like he had like a radio show for like sports stuff like that.
I think it was called Go On.
Yeah, Go On. Yeah, they only had one season. That was a good show. Why did they gotta cancel everything? Matthew Perry's on because they canceled that other show he was on, which was something to do with Orange something. I don't remember.
He was also in Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which was really good. That was one season, too.
Maybe that's one of, actually.
But yeah, no, we should cover those shows for our future podcasts.
That sounds like a good idea. Find the pilots for
those shows, yes. If you want us to, let us know. Mike@CullenPark.com. Anyway, so that's my email address, by the way. Don't just like shout that out into the ether, because that won't help.
Not yet.
Yeah, you gotta actually get into an email client and then send a message to me. You know. I mean, you could send it by carrier pigeon if you want.
It'll take a while, but,
it is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yep.
So we've got this episode here. We've got...
Yeah.
So, so, like I said, Gideon dumped Gary, believing he was clouding her judgment. She then instigates more fighting, leading Gary to eat Bishop's time device that they have. You know, because that happens.
That's what you do. I mean,
mm-hmm. It's a good source of iron.
Did he just put it in like his like stomach area? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
So, Bayrod comes back from the from hell. Well, from the outside of the pocket thing that they're in.
Yeah.
And he ends up admitting his emotional vulnerability, interrupting all of the drama long enough, and being so honest that the cursed crew is able to leave. So, you know, because they were looking for a moment of true emotion and honesty. And that's what they found in Bayrod.
Bayrod saved the day, yeah.
So as everyone then starts to reconcile their, you know, fights and feelings and stuff and the reality TV bullshit that they got going on. And so Astra and Bayrod end up admitting their feelings for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then randomly Gideon suggests, not randomly, but coincidentally, suggests that they travel to 1914 Sarajevo to stop the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. Which is very surprising to most of the legends. Like, wait, so.
Like, wait a minute. Logical Gideon wants to stop World War One?
Yeah.
Would also stop World War Two by just deductive logic and by
theory
pretty of the much any other
theory of the butterfly effect, eventually everything would, you know. So
pretty much, yeah.
And I'm not referring to the movie The Butterfly Effect, the concept of the butterfly effect. So.
Yeah, we're not talking about that movie or the sequel right now, at least.
Or the third one.
Oh, I didn't know they made a third one.
Yeah, there's three of them. I actually like the second. The second one's actually pretty good. But anyway, so...
Yeah, I've heard my uncle likes that one a lot, so... Yeah. It might be pretty good.
We should cover it for a future podcast. In our direct-to-video, you know, Direct From Hell series.
Cool. Oh, I thought of something, too. By the way, my uncle's name was Gary, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And, but I was, I thought of something earlier, but I forgot to write it down that we could cover for some... Direct to Hell. Oh, I'll talk to you later about it because I don't remember the exact name of it.
Okay,
I don't
want to waste
too much time just rambling.
Yes. If you guys out there have any suggestions for anything you'd like us to cover, again, make sure you email me at mike@collinpark.com. I'd love to hear any suggestions. Okay, what are your final thoughts on this episode, though, Matt?
Just pretty much what I started off with. I mean, I think it's Legends at its best, you know, where it's like they understand that it's a comedy show now. Like, I mean, there are supernatural elements to it, you know, there's sci-fi, you know, obviously time travel, stuff like that. But it knows its place now within the Arrowverse, like completely, and it completely accepts itself in role now. Like, it's not like, if you notice, like, they almost never wear, like, their original like superhero costumes anymore, like at all. Like, yeah, if you watch like the first season, like they're always wearing it, and like season two, and it's only like around like midway season three, they start wearing it less and less, and then pretty much like you just don't even wear it all anymore. And it's just, you know, and I think that's, you know, not an accident. I think they do that on purpose, the showrunners. You know, I just love the episode. I mean, I've watched it three times, probably going to watch it a fourth time tonight. I just think it's hilarious. Like, you know, the satire of it, like I said, it reminds me of the penultimate episode of season five, when they're all stuck in the TV show, where it's like so meta, but it's also satirical. They're kind of making fun of themselves at the same time, but it's like a sort of like a humble brag, because like at this point everybody knows that Legends is the best Arrowverse show. It's just a fact, okay? Everyone knows it. And it used to be like, you know, it's just an objective fact. It's got the best writing, it's got the best acting, it's just a reality. Get over it. It's you know, just like how, you know, the sun shines, and the, you know, it's just, you know, it's whatever. But you know, they make fun of themselves, knowing full well that they're the best show right now, and they have been for quite a while within the Arrowverse. So it's like they're not really making fun of themselves. It's almost like they're pretending to make fun of themselves to make the other shows feel better about not being as good, especially the Flash. Excuse me. Sorry, because the Flash sucks now for the last two seasons. But anyway,
yeah. I mean, I will tell you, I'm not caught up on them, but Batwoman and Superman and Lois are both pretty good too. And I mean, and Stargirl is technically part of the Arrowverse, so that's good too, though. So you know, so
oh, that's true. Stargirl. Well, that's right. I'm used to the Arrowverse being crappy, so I forgot that Stargirl is actually technically in it.
And Superman and Lois,
obviously.
Yeah, and Superman and Lois is just an amazing show by itself. And and Batwoman has a lot of good going for it too. So yeah. Also, just some Legends news that I read recently. Donald Faison is joining the show at the end of the season.
That's awesome.
Yeah, as in the guy who played Turk on Scrubs and stuff like that. There's rumors that he's playing Booster Gold, which is a character from the comics. I don't know if he's joining awesome. Like as a main cast member, or if he's just going to be a guest star in one episode. But he will be in the season finale. So, yeah,
that's awesome.
So that I can't wait to see that, because I love Donald Faison. So yeah,
and yeah, he, me too. Oh my god!
Awesome. I didn't listen to it yet, but in recent episode of Fake Doctors Real Friends podcast with him and Zach Braff, he talks about who he's playing, but they bleep out every time he says who it is. So no clue on who he's playing, though. I mean, but a lot of people are suggesting it's probably Booster Gold, so we'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
Let us know who you think it might be, if you can, at mike@cullenpark.com or on our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook, our TikTok, wherever you want to message us. Just let us know.
Our tax.
Send us a carrier pigeon. Smoke signals.
Yeah, carrier pigeon. A smoke signal.
Snail mail letter.
Do you know if... Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. The post office is evil now, apparently.
Yeah.
Anyway. Do you know if they're gonna? Do they renew it for a season eight or not yet?
Not officially yet.
Not official. Okay.
I really hope they do. If they don't, they're stupid. I do not know what the ratings are like right now this season, so who knows? So, I know the ratings aren't always the greatest for the show, so.
Yeah.
Which is sad, because more people need to start watching it.
Yeah, because it would suck if Donald Faison shows up at the season finale and that's the end of the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know.
That's it. You had one episode.
That's how I'd like to end things, you know. Last day of my life, I'd like Donald Faison to show up and then I die.
Yeah. Whoa.
I don't want him to kill me, though, so. But.
Well, no. Don't. Yeah.
I want it to be like I'm in hospice as an old man. And Donald Faison, who's older than me, will be there for some reason. But, the. See, I don't know if he'd be joining the cast because he was actually in the pilot that they shot for the Powerpuff Girls TV series. He was supposed to be a main cast member in that, but they're reshooting that, retooling
that.
But he was in the Powerpuff Girls live action pilot.
What's that?
Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, he was in that?
Yeah, he was in the pilot for that. He was playing the professor, doctor, or whatever guy that was their dad.
Oh, okay.
And, they shot the pilot and CW didn't like it that much, so they're reshooting it. So who knows if he'll be part of that show.
Mm.
But it'd be really cool if he joined the main cast of, Legends.
Yeah.
I would enjoy that thoroughly. They need some new blood every season, so that'd be cool if they did have him join. Anyways, any other thoughts here, Matt, before we wrap things up?
What's that? Sorry, you broke up again.
Any other thoughts before we wrap things up?
Oh, no, I think I've said everything that I want to say.
Okay. Well, folks, make sure you subscribe to all of our social media. Follow us wherever you can. Make sure you subscribe to the show where you're listening to us now. Give us a 5-star review anywhere that you can. I know you can on Apple and on Joe Rogan's Spotify. And I think he owns it now, right?
Yeah, it's him. I mean, he dictates everything. Yeah, so
I mean, I can't really say much because we're distributed by Spotify. But the
you gotta be careful though. We see we can't disseminate accurate vaccine information, and we might get kicked off for
yeah, being
pro-vaccine,
true.
So we gotta be careful about
yes.
that.
Yeah, just don't listen to us for medical advice. Don't listen to Joe Rogan for medical advice either. Don't listen to anybody on Spotify, really, for medical advice, unless they're a doctor. like a real doctor.
What's that? Sorry, you broke up again for a while.
I was just saying, just don't listen to us as long as you listen to a real doctor about medicine. But anyways, until next time, folks, be safe, wear a mask, wear a condom, and bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.